From San Francisco, California, this is the Rock and Roll Geek Show.
This is the story of my rock and roll butler.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. My name's Michael Butler. Thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate it. Today is Friday, August 12th, 2022, and it is 3:24 when I'm recording this episode. This is day 12 of the Dog Days of Podcasting, where me and a bunch of other podcast nerds attempt to do a show a day for the entire month of August. We're 12 days into this, over a third of the way. Lots more to go, and it feels like it's going fast. I'll be up in the mountains on Sunday, so you'll get, I hear the smoke is getting pretty bad up there. We'll see. I'm not sure what the fire situation is. There's a fire near there. I haven't heard if they got a handle on it or not, but I know that the smoke is pretty bad. So I'll give you updates, and I'll probably be doing notes from the tree stand. Hunting season starts on August 20th. So I'm going to be scouting. I probably said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to be scouting until then, and then I'm going to be sitting up in the tree stand until August 24th. I sure hope I get a deer again this year, but I got one last year, so I'm happy about that. But my freezer's empty. I just processed the fish today. I have a freezer full of fish now, which is nice. So I'm going to be bringing some of that up, and I'm going to be bringing two pig shanks that I got from the pig that I roasted. I'm going to be bringing those up and some other stuff as well. So you'll be maybe getting a little bit of cooking on the grill with Butler when I'm up there, some notes from the tree stand, some tart. I'm going to be practicing my bow because I'm only going to hunt deer with the bow up there. Neighbors kind of freak out when you have guns. I do have a .22. Well, I have the rifle and everything, but I'm not going to be shooting the rifle up there because I don't want to freak the neighbors out. I don't have a bear tag. I could get one, but there's like a 500-pound bear that's been going in our backyard, but you're only allowed to hunt bear in the daytime, and every time we see the bear, it's like 3 or 4 in the morning on the trail cam. So those are things for me to look forward to while I'm up there. I'm not sure if you're going to be looking forward to them, but I'm going to be up there from Sunday through about the 24th, I think. So I'm going to be up there a little while, unless the fires come, and then we're going to be really not good shape. Then I'm heading to Florida, so definitely looking forward to that. All right, I asked for audio comments. They're still coming through, but keep the audio comments coming, please, because I didn't get any today. But this one came a few days ago. This one is from fellow podcast nerd, Tim's, where is it? Uh-oh, which one is it? Okay, I don't remember who's. It's Tim Smith, the Rock and Roll Runner, but I'm not sure which is his. Let me find it here. Show review. Let me just click on the. Yeah, let's try.
Hey, Michael. It's Tim, the Rock and Roll Runner in Ohio.
Hey, Tim.
How's it going, man?
I'm super great. Could not be better. Thank you for asking, friends. Glad to see you on the Dog Days of Podcasting, by the way.
That's great to hear, buddy. Yeah. I thought I'd call in with a response to Chad's.
Chad Kiffmeyer.
Show review of the stadium tour. But first, before I get to that, a little comment on Demi Lovato.
Yes.
My daughter is actually going to see her. And I find Demi Lovato and a lot of these young singers, this is old man Tim here, who just doesn't relate to the young singers.
I bet I'm older than you, Tim, but yeah.
The young singers, there's something about them that always.
By the way, I'm taking my fifth sip of beer of the day, and that's always the best, Tecate.
This is off to me. So I had already listened to that song that you played, and as you say, it kind of hits all the algorithms in many ways.
Yeah, I'll bet you. Well, she had like six songwriters on that tune. If you don't remember which song it is, I don't have it in hand. Let me see if I can find Demi Lovato. Well, just go back and listen to the Demi Lovato episode, the episode with Demi Lovato, and you'll hear the song. She played it on Jimmy Kimmel. Decent song. Well, you know, she had six songwriters on there, and I'm rooting for. It probably does hit the algorithms. That's probably one of those computer-generated rock songs like Tuck Smith was talking about. Remember when I had him on? He said that his songs hit all the algos.
The guitars are fantastic, I thought. Absolutely fantastic guitars. Good drumming, I guess. Her voice is obviously astounding.
Yeah, she's a good singer.
But what's always a little bit off is the melody itself. Uh-huh. they're not quite catchy. I mean, a lot of these young singers, both male and female, every now and then they'll have a catchy song, but a lot of them aren't really catchy. You can't really sing them. And to me, the way describe them is that
they're not anthemic.
They're vocal exercises.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
showing off their vocal range.
Okay, I can
and all
hear,
this.
I can
and
get that.
I can't really get into it. The other thing I notice is real common is this expulsion of air at the end of words, like la la la,
yeah.
la la la. They do that a lot.
Emotion.
I notice. I'm not sure what that is, but
it's passion.
I probably didn't do a good
it's
imitation
the passion
of it,
for the music, man.
There's a whole bunch of that. I don't notice older artists doing that. It's kind of a thing that young artists.
Listen to well, Touch Too Much, AC/DC, a little bit.
Artists do. Anyway. But my daughter's excited. I did tell her about Nikki Strauss.
Uh-huh.
Nikki Strauss?
Nita
Strauss.
Nita Strauss.
Sorry, I'm thinking Nikki Six already.
There you go.
Nita Strauss being in it, my daughter
difference?
Was kind of like...
Hey, they both look alike. All right.
A little excited, but not too much. By the way, Nita Strauss claims she's an ancestor of the famous composer. Who is it? Johann
of
Strauss
course,
or whatever?
Of course,
that's what Nita
course,
Strauss claims.
Of course.
Secondly... You mentioned Hairball, or Chad mentioned Hairball.
Okay.
I actually gave you a show review of Hairball a few years ago, and you played it.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be really stupid. It was a free show I went to because I paid for something else. I got to see it. It was actually really good. It's really corny, but there's, like he said, there's a band, and these singers, they had like four singers, and each singer did two or three personalities. So one would come out like as Steve Perry, and they do a couple Journey songs. So one came out as Joe Elliott, and they did a couple of Joe Elliott Def Leppard songs. They did that. It was actually really good. I thought it'd be really dumb, but I was like singing along and had a blast.
Well, that's what it's all
Sorry
about.
Sorry, I'm
friends.
Sniffling here.
Okay,
cocaine? Let's get to the stadium tour. I'll try not to repeat anything Chad said, but I may echo a couple
you went
of things.
Too. Okay.
But let's face it. We can talk about, you know, has-beens like Elton John and Paul McCartney or the Rolling Stones or Cheap Trick or Demi Lovato.
Hey, how dare you sacrilege Cheap Trick hair has-beens.
Swift. But this tour is really the tour of the decade. In fact,
really?
It's the tour of the century.
What?
The millennium. Beethoven
okay.
who?
Okay. Okay, I get it. I'm a little slow, Tim.
In fact, this is probably the greatest thing to see since Mary sang to Jesus
exactly.
in Jesus Christ Superstar. You
yes.
know, everything's all right, everything's fine, on that song, whatever.
Uh-huh.
This is the greatest thing since
it's
then.
So
and
good.
We all
so
want
important.
To discuss the greatest act, musical act of a lifetime, Motley Crue. But before we get to that, Michael, you need to hold on to your bowels right now. Everyone
okay.
listening, if you have loose bowels at the moment, pause this, go to the bathroom first,
uh-oh.
And then come back. Because I'm going to tell you what the ticket prices
on.
Were.
Oh, okay.
Two tickets. Me and a buddy went. Take a guess what we paid for two. I can't even get this out without laughing.
He either paid an extremely low amount or an extremely high amount. I'm going to go low. He paid $20 each for the tickets. Let's guess.
Guess what was paid for two tickets? $462.
Oh, I was wrong. He went high.
Yes.
$231 each. How's that for math? Yep, graduated.
And guess what? My buddy paid for them. There's no way in hell I would pay.
See, I knew that Tim was kind of a low-budget kind of guy. So his buddy paid his way. Okay, all right. Well, good on your buddy, or good on you, man. Good for your, or kudos to your buddy for paying for your ticket, Tim.
$162 for two tickets, or $230 for a ticket. Absolutely no way. So he went to buy the tickets, and I said, hey, man, I'll go all the way up to $100,
uh-huh.
which is more than I really think is kind of worth. But also, I'll go up to $100, because he really...
Yeah, Casey paid for my Kiss ticket, Kiss and David Lee Roth. He goes, I'll pay for your ticket and let me borrow that bass of yours, one of those bass, because I had a bass for sale. He goes, let me borrow that bass for bass and this will go towards the purchase of the bass. Well, the show's over. Bass has never been returned, Casey. All right. Back to you, Tim.
he wanted to go. And he comes back at, I just, you know, he comes back and says he just spent $462. I'm like, you son of a bitch. So he said he'd pay for it. So he's not even that rich. He just does dumb rich? Stuff like this. Yeah, having said that, I pay for everything while he came. So we went and ate before. We actually ate before and after.
Yes.
A couple of pricey restaurants. Well, pricey for me.
$20.
Restaurants. I bought all the beer and everything at the show. So I probably still spent over $100.
That's a lot of money. Beer
on stuff. But yeah. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine paying that for this
show?
Where
were the seats?
It's ridiculous. So, and on top of that, guess where our seats were?
Ah.
We were behind home plate, which put us over 400 feet away from the stage. We couldn't even see the stage. We had to watch the big screens the whole way.
Fuck that.
So it's like we paid up more than $1 per foot away from the stage that we were. So that's crazy.
Yes.
Anyway, besides all that seriousness.
You have to pay me to go to that show. If Classless Acts manager, hint, hint, sent me a ticket, I would go to see Classless Act, and I'd probably leave after Classless Act. Classless Act's manager ain't sending me a free ticket. But if I, other than that, you'd have to pay me to go to that show. Yeah. It's, my time is worth money, and that seems like a waste of time.
I really had no problem going. You know, we can kind of make fun of.
Yeah, kudos to anybody who got them. If you want to, if that's your thing, that's fine. I know a lot of people like Motley Crue. I know a lot of people like Def Leppard. Def Leppard's not doing any good old songs except for Bringing on the Heartbreak and Switch 642, whatever that song is. Motley Crue don't care about the fake backing tracks. But I would go see Classless Act. I'd get there at 3:45 and support the band.
Of some of these bands, but all of them really have made some incredibly catchy rock songs. Even Motley Crue, I mean, I don't care what you say about how obnoxious they are now, but they made some of the best catchy rock songs in the 80s. And Nikki Sixx may be a jackass, but the dude could write some good songs back then.
Okay,
so,
better
you know,
than me.
Regardless of how goofy they are now, you know, all four bands, and we're going to go see all four bands basically
do a
Jones
greatest
hits show.
So yeah, I would stay for Classless Act and Joan Jett.
It's going to be good. Let's see some stats. 35,000 people. It was pretty much full. And on Wikipedia, it says that the revenue for this show was $5 million.
Per show.
I wonder what that means. Is that just ticket sales? Is it tickets plus merchandise? Is it tickets plus merchandise plus concessions? And then where does all that money go?
I'm guessing, let's see, if the place holds 50,000 and tickets were over $100 a piece, all right, my math ain't that good, but all right, it's probably just ticket sales.
Like how much does the stadium get? This was at Cincinnati Great American Ballpark where the Reds play. That's an insurance company. So how much did they get? Do they have to pay the city something? And then how much does each band get? All that stuff. I mean, it's kind of, it would be interesting to know how that all plays out.
I guarantee you that Motley Crue and Motley Crue and Def Leppard probably each got at least over $500,000 per act. That's probably way low. But what do I know? No, I'm guessing everybody got a million. That's 2 million. So the rest is, I guess you could say, profit.
So let's see. They do flip-flop headliners. Yeah. You asked about that. Yeah. So we got Def Leppard as our headliner. Right. Michael, I'm your age, and as everyone can guess, I wasn't really old at this show. They're mostly old folks like me, but there are a few younger ones here and there. And it's kind of curious, like, who are they there to see? Which band or person did they want to see?
Probably Motley Crue.
There was a little gaggle of cute young girls, probably in their 20s, down the row from us. And I did notice they left before Def Leppard finished. So maybe they weren't
Motley
there
Crue
to see Def Leppard. Maybe they were there to see Bret Michaels. I don't know. Where we were, one bad thing about where we were, besides the fact we couldn't see the stage, is the sound was mushy. There wasn't a lot of distinction between the vocals and the guitars and drums. It all kind of blended together into a bunch of mush. It was loud, but kind of mushy. So I guess the sound people, they must make it perfect where they're standing, but it's not perfect everywhere else, unfortunately. So that kind of taints my, I threw the word taint in. That kind of taints the show review here. I do agree, so let's go through the bands. I do agree with Chad that Jones sounded great. You could close your eyes and it's like you're listening to the album. So that's good and bad. I don't like it.
I can guarantee you Jones not using backing tracks. Jonesette would never do something like that. At least I don't think she would. But you got Kenny Laguna on keyboards back there. And Jones got a great band.
Them to veer too
and Jones a great rhythm guitar player.
Much from how you know it, because then you can't sing along. But I kind of want them to spice it up a little.
Yeah,
she didn't really do that. In a way, it kind of sounded like she was phoning it in a little bit.
Yeah. She's kind of out of place on that bill, if you want my honest opinion. I'm sure she probably would not disagree. Well, she probably would. She probably thinks she fits in with any bill. But I can guarantee you she's not a fan of Poison, Motley Crue, or Def Leppard.
Which probably isn't fair.
She's happy to be working through the summer. She's probably getting half a decent payday.
But it was so much like the album. And there wasn't a lot of, like, she wasn't jumping around and going crazy, which she never does.
Really
I've seen
did,
her
yeah.
two times before. It just felt like that, which in a way might make sense. Now, granted, she could have said no to this tour, but let's face it. Between these four bands, which one is by far the most important one historically? It's Joan Jett. I mean, the other three bands may have written some great songs and had some great tunes, but they're just three out of a whole bunch of hair metal bands, right? Joan Jett is the one who historically is the superstar of this whole set, and she's got to go first. Oh, by the way, so the ticket said 4:30, and we got to our seat
Classless
about 4:35,
act, we're on
and Joan Jett's playing. So I missed Classless Act, and then Joe Pollack says they were great. So am I an idiot? Do I not understand how tickets work? I mean, I guess I am. Thought we'd get... The ticket says 4:30.
Okay. The tickets say 4:30. What kind of disrespect is that to Classless Act? They're going on at 3:55. The tickets say 4:30. They get a 20-minute set, and then there's a 15-minute changeover. They're fucking Classless Act. And I guarantee that class... Well, I don't guarantee because they're on the same label. They're the same management as Motley Crue, so... That's probably not a buy-in. I was going to say I think it's a buy-in. It might be, but I guarantee you they're not getting paid, if anything, $250 a show.
So I thought
they're probably not even getting that. If they're not paying a buy-on, they're probably you make money in merch, and they're probably having to give a percentage of merch to the promoter or whoever is doing the show.
A Classless Act was playing at 4:30. But we get there at 4:35 and she's playing. The guy next to me said it was her first song, and I didn't ask him if he had seen Classless Act. So I guess, yeah, they went on at 4, but how would anybody know that? I don't get it. I guess everyone else somehow understands that. So we missed Classless
Act. It's a ripoff. That's Classless Act getting
screwed.
But anyway,
Joan was... like Chad said, her voice was perfect, right on.
Joan always sings good. I've seen Joan Jett a million times, not a million, but a lot of times. Her voice has never been off. Same with Cheap Trick, by the way.
Actually, great. Poison was the only band I had not seen before. They were great. Brett looked like he was having a blast.
I think they're all having a blast in Poison. That's always the way they've been. They've always been like, let's have a party. And Brett Michaels always got a positive attitude. I respect the guy for that. I like making fun of Brett Michaels because of the rock, Rock of Love and all that, what's going on and that kind of stuff. But Brett Michaels got a positive attitude, and they're just happy to be playing too.
CeCe DeVille might have been the best guitarist we saw all night, as far as just from
Probably.
Our point of view and how much fun he was having and how great he sounded. I really had underestimated how good that guy was. He was fantastic.
Do we think Poison had a backing tracks? I don't think so. I think they got a guy playing keyboards behind the stage. At least when I saw Motley Crue and Poison at Bill Graham Civic in San Francisco when the Colonel Panic happened with Motley Crue, and Poison, I believe, had a keyboard player behind the backdrop.
bummer, though, is they did not play Unskinny Bop. That's my favorite.
Unskinny Bop. We don't want to offend any unskinny ladies.
So, believe it or not, Unskinny Bop. So I was sad they did not play that. Luckily, unlike for Chad, where he said it was like really hot and nasty, we had great weather. It was fine, and we were in the shade anyway. Chad said he spent like $80 to $100 on water. I'm way too cheap for that. I'd stick my head under the faucet in the bathroom if I needed that much water.
I'd drink the toilet water.
Chad's a nice guy. Chad also got it right with Motley Crue. That was the third band we've seen. I saw Motley Crue like mid-90s when they were kind of doing a reunion tour. And it was with Vince and Tommy Lee, and they were incredible. That concert was pan-freaking-tastic.
Backing tracks.
In this case, Vince was not great, but he was okay. Most
backing
of the time,
tracks,
he
double
seemed
vocals.
To be in tune, and he was fine.
Double
Periodically,
vocals.
You could see him go out of tune, which actually made it kind of awesome.
Well, that's when they didn't have the doubled vocals. Probably when the doubled vocals come out, and that's Vince's time to ad-lib, then he goes off-key.
Better.
And remember Chad said, backing track, bass guitar, backing track, drums, even though Tommy Lee's a fantastic drummer, backing track, rhythm guitar, and probably a little bit of lead guitar too, and backing track, backing vocals.
He'd just go off key in certain phrases, and it just make you laugh, and it was like, awesome. I agree too that Motley Crue came off kind of sloppy, but that was also kind of awesome. Joan Jett was not sloppy at all. Extremely tight.
The pro.
But Motley Crue, they really seemed like they were having fun out there.
But
I like to
see a little bit of sloppiness, though.
In there, both these two.
It's amazing you can be sloppy and still have backing tracks, huh? Or have backing tracks and still be sloppy.
Two bands really seemed like they were having a blast. Tommy Lee came out at one point to bitch about not seeing titties. So a couple of girls complied and they...
Let's see those titties!
...to their shirts and they got the boobies on the big screen.
Oh, by the way, did anybody see Tommy Lee's, lack of a better word, dick pic on his social media? Neither did I. I heard about it. I have no desire to see Tommy Lee's sitting on a toilet.
Also, I did not know about Mick Mars's physical troubles.
Yeah, he's got some back.
After hearing about that after the show, I'm kind of impressed with him. I mean, that guy, he's doing a lot of the heavy lifting for the music, and he sounded fine to me. I notice he gets almost no time on the big screens, though. It's all... The other three, I don't know, maybe because he's kind of weird looking, right? He's a little bit Frankenstein looking.
Yeah, I don't know
so
why.
I don't know what it is, but I felt kind of bad that they kind of ignore him on the big screens. The other three that get everything. Finally, Def Leppard. Like Joan, you could pretty much close your eyes and feel like you were listening to the record versions.
Now, I don't think they're doing backing tracks, but I'm not going to... go on record saying they're not doing backing tracks because I don't know. I have not seen them.
Also, they were very tight. Joe sounded great. But at the same time, it was a little bit of a letdown after Motley Crue. Believe it or not, they may be better. They may be better singers and better players right now, but they were just too tight and too perfect in some ways. They didn't have that kind of excitement and craziness that Poison and Motley Crue were having. Although the guitarists, Phil Collin and Vivian Campbell, they rocked. They were awesome to watch. You know, the three best things to watch were CeCe DeVille, Phil Collin, Vivian Campbell. That might be because of where we were sitting. The sound, the guitars kind of came through the best. The vocals sometimes were getting drowned out. So it was really great watching those guitarists. By the way, little aside here. I think I posted a picture of the $16 beers we got. Actually, I got like a hard lemonade type thing. My buddy was drinking these $16 beers, the tall can beers. Okay, so I'm a real nerd. When I growing up, I never did pot in my life. Never smoked. It was either get drunk a lot or do pot. And for whatever reason, I just took to drinking, drank like a fish. Uh-huh. So I did try some gummies a few years ago when we were in Colorado, and they did nothing for me. Kind of weird. My buddy who came with me, he had a vaping device.
The vape thing can wipe you out if it's strong vape. I can't do the vape. It hurts my lungs.
That's the one that starts with a sativa in it.
That amps you up.
And so I tried some of this. I'll be damned. I didn't feel a fucking thing. My buddy who had a couple of beers and did this a little bit was like, he was stoned out of his freaking mind. And like having a blast. I was sucking that crap down. That I was vaping like a mother. I never felt a thing. Huh. So I don't. Is this a thing? Is this something that happens
maybe
to some
you're
people?
To pot.
So I was twice now. Neither the gum. So these gummies I bought a few years ago. The guy told me to take one. I took eight.
Eight.
Still never felt anything.
Eight gummies enough. I took a quarter of a gummy and I got wasted. Well, you're probably, pot doesn't do anything to you. You're an anomaly, Tim.
It's vaping. I'm sucking like half the thing down. I still didn't feel anything. So I don't know what's wrong with me. Pot doesn't seem to affect me.
Don't smoke it. You'd be wasting your money.
But that's the way that is. Speaking of backing tracks, Chad was in a much better position to know about it, being close up, I think. I never heard them for Joan Jett or Poison or even Motley Crue. I could not tell. I'm not saying they weren't there.
I'm
just
telling you,
couldn't
Motley
tell
Crue
at
has
all.
So many backing tracks, it's not a
the
band.
Crue, Motley Crue had the little stripper girls who were, I thought they were just pretending, lip syncing, like pretending to sing. Chad says they were singing, but
I
couldn't tell.
So. I think it's
from
backing tracks.
I thought they were just kind of pretending.
I think it's lip syncing.
If anything, it was Def Leppard, who seemed to have more sound than they should have.
Maybe.
Seemed to be extra music in there. Also, there was like backing vocals, and I couldn't tell where they were coming from. Obviously, it could have just been from the other guys. It was hard to see. But Joel Elliott, I think, was also using vocal effects of sorts, and that kind of added to that. So, anyway, there's my coverage of the show. How about real quick a set list? I'll do this really fast.
Okay.
Joan Jett, Victim of Circumstance, Cherry Bomb. That was awesome.
Victim of Circumstance, great. One of my favorites. That's on I Love Rock and Roll. Last song, side one, I believe.
Light of Day. Do you
just around the corner to the light of day? Do you want to touch?
Do you want to touch me? That was great. You Drive Me Wild.
You Drive Me Wild. Runaways tune.
Day People. Fake Friends. I know you like
both
that
of those
song.
From the album. The album called Album.
That was great. Crimson and Clover was great. I Love Rock and Roll. I'm gonna run away.
Runaway from I Love Rock and Roll. One of my favorites.
Hate myself for loving you.
Off of Up Your Alley.
And Bad Reputation.
Bad Reputation.
So again,
Bad Reputation.
Pretty much the greatest hits. Poison. Look What the Cat Dragged In.
Look
Ride
what the
Wind.
Ride the Wind. Baby, baby.
Dirty to Me. That was good.
Talk dirty to me.
Mama Don't Dance. They always
daddy have, don't.
Do that one, I'm sure. Guitar solo. Right. Fallen Angel.
Mama's Fallen Angel.
Drum solo, every
drum
rose
solo
has
its thorn.
That was actually pretty good, I hate to say it.
Get those lighters up. Oh, it's still light out.
And then Nothing But a Good Time.
Ain't looking for nothing.
Motley Crue. Wild Side.
Take a ride over.
Shout at the Devil.
Shout.
I mean, these are actually really good. Too Fast for Love.
Too Fast for Love.
Don't Go Away Mad. I love that.
Girl, Don't Go Away Mad. It's one of my, I like that song.
That song, Saints of Los Angeles,
No.
Live Wire, Looks That
Live Wire, I'm Alive,
That Kill,
She Got the Looks That Kill, That Kill,
The Dirt, then they did that medley of some covers, Home Sweet Home, I have to say it, I love that freaking song,
okay.
It's freaking awesome, right. Dr. Feel Good,
He's the One They Called Doctor,
that was good. Same old situation.
Same old situation.
That's great. I mean, these songs are great. Girls, girls, girls.
Girls, girls. Boys, boys, boys.
Primal Scream.
Primal Scream. American Heartbreak recorded that one. Ooh, that's a cover. We're doing the covers. Maybe I should pull that one out of my ass. Let me make a note of that.
Kickstart My Heart.
Kickstart My Heart.
Finally, Def Leppard. Take What You Want. Let It Go. Animal. Foolin'.
I'm
kind of like you. I like the more original, earlier Def Leppard than when they got really huge with the, like, whatever it is, Hysteria or whatever. But the other songs are okay, too. It's kind of like when Def Leppard had those really big hits. It was like when Aerosmith did the same thing, right? Later 80s, they changed their sound to the more big production sound. It's like, they lost something. Where was I? Armageddon It, that was good. Kick, I think that's from their new album, right? That's actually a really good song. Okay. Love Bites, Promises, This Guitar, I don't even remember that. Two Steps Behind, don't remember that either. Those are both acoustic. Rocket, Bring It On, Heartbreak. Okay.
And Switch 62.
Switch 625, is that a new one?
No, that's on Pyromania, comes after, is this Pyromania? Comes after Bring It On, the Heartbreak.
This might be a really old one. I can't remember. Hysteria, pour some sugar on
Pour Some.
Rock of Ages and
Rock of Ages.
Photograph.
I don't want you. Bring It On, the Heartbreak might be on. Is that on High and Dry? I don't think so.
There you go. 19 minutes
might be on High and Dry.
Of time that we all could have spent doing something better.
Yeah, there you go. No, I'd rather.
I tried
to
talk fast, but it is what it is. Stay frosty, motherfucker.
Yeah, motherfuckers. Thank you. No, wait, hold on.
All right.
Oh, whoa. Is it still going? Hold on. Where is it going?
This song right here is off the first Broken Teeth record.
I don't know what that is.
I like to call it our church hymn.
Oh, I don't know what that is. That's my iTunes going crazy. I apologize. Would have been a good segue. I should just let it play. All right. I was going to play the new Tuck Smith. I will save that for tomorrow. Let me make sure I have that down in the notes. Tim Smith. I'm calling an audible. Thanks to Tim Smith. I'm going to play American Heartbreak, my old band doing a Motley Crue cover, Primal Scream. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Let's see if it plays. All right. Is it loading? Is it loading? Okay. It is loading. All right. Thank you for listening, friends. It's day 12 of the Dog Days of Podcasting, dogdaysofpodcasting.com. Find this show at rockandrollgeek.com. Find me, rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. Send me the audio comments and show reviews, and send me some suggestions for covers as well. I'm getting a lot of suggestions for Dog Days episodes, and I appreciate that, everybody who's doing it. It really makes me feel good because it's helping a lot. Where was I? Find me on the Facebook, R&R Geek, Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group. You got to answer two questions so that I know you're not sneaking nuclear codes out of the White House. I'm losing my mind here. Find me on the Twitter, R&R Geek. Find me on the Instagram, Rock and Roll Geek. Please keep the donations coming, because without your donations, this show would die a horrible, putrid, stench-filled death. And it's a value for value, so if you get any value out of this show, please, friends, donate what this show is worth to you. It helps this show. It helps me out. It helps me survive, friends. All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow with day 13. Here's American Heartbreak doing a Motley Crue cover, Primal Scream. We'll be right back.
It's a rock and roll geek train wreck.